Hello, everyone. Welcome to Ruminate This with Agrarian Solutions. Join us as we explore ruminant nutrition and the impact of mycotoxins. Here, we challenge your curiosity and explore new industry insights and research to optimize your herd's health and performance. Hey, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Ruminate This podcast with Agrarian Solutions. I am your host, Scott Zaire, and you are listening to episode number 2. This is titled DTX Research Results Part 1, and today we're going to be talking about the production data with our guest, Dr. Larry Roth. Dr. Roth is the Vice President of Nutrition here at Agrarian Solutions, and Larry, I welcome you into the conversation today, where we're going to be talking about the research that was conducted with DTX, our kind of our flagship product, if you would. And Larry, if you could just kind of tell the world a little bit about yourself, who you are, where you're at in the country, and we'll dive into what led us to do a research project on this particular product here at Agrarian.
All right. Thank you, Scott. It's a pleasure to be here today. As you said, my name's Larry Roth. I'm the Vice President of Nutrition, and my training is as a dairy and beef nutritionist, and I've spent my career in the world of probiotics and doing battle against the wild yeast, the molds, and the mycotoxins. And so this opportunity here with the Agrarian is a neat way to tie everything together. And so why did we conduct this research study? Well, the DTX product has been used by the dairy industry for over 25 years with some great results for improving milk production and helping cows get pregnant and stay pregnant. But what we did not have, Scott, was good controlled research. Our evidence was based upon what had happened out in the real world. So we want to demonstrate exactly what we would do under a controlled situation with randomized cows, the type of research that could be published in a peer-reviewed journal. So that's what we set out to do.
Yeah. And, you know, it when we kind of led into this, when you came on board and you and I were visiting, I was aware of a company founded by Mark Thomas up here in Lavelle, New York. Larry, you're out in Minnesota. I'm over here in New York. So, and Dairy Health and Management Services. So talk to us about what they do quickly and how did we end up contracting with them?
All right. Dairy Health and Management Services is a group of research-minded veterinarians. They also do on-farm consulting from a nutrition and health management standpoint, but they've really made a name for themselves in conducting peer-reviewed, publication-worthy research. So different situations led to making some contact. We established what we wanted to do, going to a very well-managed herd, large herd, where cows are challenged by mycotoxins, but don't necessarily seem to really be suffering. So what can we do under research conditions to improve performance with mycotoxin-challenged cows? And that's what we did in this study.
So when you say challenged by mycotoxins, you and I both know that that term alone, as accurate as it may be, right? Because cows are challenged by mycotoxins. There is a varying degree within the industry of opinions as to what challenge means as far as a level of toxins. So talk to us about what would you say the challenge was on the farm from a testing standpoint, and also, you know, what toxins were present.
Okay. So very well-managed herd. Production for controlled cows, as we'll see here in a little bit, averaged about 115 pounds a day for the first 150 days in milk. So cows are doing pretty decent. Pretty good reproduction on these cows, but they didn't have digestive issues. Feed intake wasn't jumping around. Things just looked good with these cows. But the DON was present at 1.5 parts per million and zearalenone at approximately 150 parts per billion. So both of those would be kind of in that moderate to a little bit high category, especially the DON. But let's see what would happen when we provided some protection. Because if we provide some protection and we see improvements in production and repro, then that means that there was a mycotoxin challenge on the cows.
So the study itself, can you dive in a little bit with the audience? How is it designed? What was it designed to look at? And let's go from there.
All right. So this was a 3,600 cow dairy, commercial dairy, some real good genetics, but their experience with conducting feeding trials. So this study was conducted from late August of 22 to late May of 23. So there wasn't heat stress as one of the factors. But again, the challenge was mycotoxins. Again, just to repeat for everybody, a little bit over 1.5 parts per million of DON, approximately 150 parts per million of zearalenone, and that was determined by sampling the TMR every 2 weeks. So our objective was to evaluate daily milk production for the first 150 days in milk, and then also evaluate pregnancy per service at the first preg check, and then also come back at the second preg check. So do we get cows pregnant, and do they stay pregnant as well? So we used approximately 460 cows into each the control treatment and the group that got the DTX concentrate. It was about a third first lactation and two-thirds second and greater lactation cows. So when cows came into the dry pen, they were randomly assigned based upon lactation number and expected calving date into either the control or the DTX group. Now, even though the assignment took place when they came to the dry pen, we did not start feeding DTX until the cows freshened. But the early assignment let us have cows assigned so that as soon as they freshened, the personnel at the dairy knew exactly which group they were going to go into. Cows were fed one time a day and kept track of feed deliveries and feed waybacks. Cows were milked three times a day using the AFI milk system to record milk production from first 150 days. Also recorded at the pen level, milk components, fat, protein, and solid stone fat, as well as somatic cell count. And then Dairy Comp 305 was used for measuring services per conception. These cows were all synchronized for first service at plus or minus 73 days in milk. What was kind of interesting, Scott, about this dairy is that 90% of the first lactation cows received an embryo at the first service, and 99% of the second and third lactation received an embryo. Those first lactation cows that did not receive an embryo were bred to sex Holstein semen, and all of the other cows, second, third, and higher, received conventional beef semen if they didn't receive an embryo. So
really it's a pretty different. Yeah, it's a pretty aggressive reproduction strategy, which there's a lot of herds in the country, right, using beef semen and sex semen or sorted semen. This herd, right, using more embryos, so that's pretty unique. And we can get, we'll get into some of the repro stuff on episode, two, part two, where we talk about the reproduction. So, we have a study that was designed to look at production and reproduction. So, Larry, let's dive into, did we sort cows by lactation? Is that how we did it? Tell us a little bit about that, and then we can dive into what actually happened.
You bet. So when cows freshen, first lactation went off to a pen by themselves. So the control had a first lactation pen, as did the DTX group. But second and greater, they went to one of two pens for the control and then one of two pens for the DTX. So for the first 100 days in lactation, there were three pens for control cows and three pens for DTX. And then on day 101, or approximately day 101, all of the control cows went to a common pen and all of the DTX cows went to a common pen. So a total of eight pens involved in the whole study.
You mentioned there was 460 cows in each group, 920 cows total. That's a pretty sizable study. I mean, is there anything else in the way of mycotoxin research done on farm with this kind of numbers?
Scott, I don't think there's anything near this scope that has been conducted with mycotoxin protection products. There have been some small studies, you know, on the aflatoxin where, you know, they feed something, see if aflatoxin disappears from the milk. But nothing has been done on this size and scale from a mycotoxin protection standpoint.
Okay, so that's interesting. Yeah, that's really interesting. Talk about data. So, you know, let's dive into, you know, what actually happened. What were some of the outcomes? And we can start with the first lactation animals, control versus treatment. How did we fare? What did we find out?
Okay, well, that's kind of interesting, Scott. So first lactation cows for the first 150 days, we did not pick up a statistical difference. The cows averaged 82 pounds a day, but not a statistical difference. When we move over to second and greater lactation, then we had an improvement. Like I said, it was 115 pounds approximately for the control, and the DTX cows averaged 2.5 pounds more a day for the first 150 days. And that was a p-value of 0.0001, so a very strong difference. Yeah.
That's very good. Why do you think the first lactation animals didn't see a response in milk production?
Well, that's interesting because we know that they did show a response to the DTX, but that comes in our next episode where we talk about repro.
Yep.
So we did something. Now, what would have been interesting was to have weighed cows or at least body taped them to see did these cows put their extra nutrients into growth rather than into milk.
Interesting.
The other thing, Scott, to remember on this study is we did not feed the DTX concentrate during the dry period. And quite often we think that we need about 7 to 10 days to really notice the DTX benefits. So if we start feeding DTX on the day that the cow freshens, maybe we miss those first critical days. Because as we'll see in our next episode, we did improve reproductive performance with first lactation cows.
We did. And I'm going to drop a teaser that we're going to talk about. And Larry, we significantly impacted reproduction results. And so we will dive in that in episode 2. So, okay. So, and also we didn't track these first lactation animals further into their, you know, after they dried or finished their lactation, went dry. So we don't know what they're doing now in their second lactation. It would be interesting to know if, you know, we did something to help with a sophomore slump, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But as I've heard you say many a times, the perfect study has never been done.
That's right. Yeah.
So on to the second lactation in greater cows. So we talked about, you mentioned 2.5 pounds of milk increase. So for the study, if we didn't see a direct milk response in the first lactation cows, you would hypothetically say that we fed those cows DTX, but we didn't see a response in milk. Maybe, like, should we have fed them? We can talk about the reproduction research in the next episode, and so we can make that correlation there. But from a milk perspective, you know, we had the gain in the mature cows. So what was the final outcome from, say, like a return on investment standpoint? Was it worth feeding the product if we didn't get a milk response out of the first lactation cows?
Okay. Well, the answer to your question, Scott, is no. Because you fed it and you didn't see our improvement there. But again, that's a teaser for the next session where we'll talk about reproductive improvement.
Well, and so, you know, if I'm understanding the research correctly, right, we did get a 2.5 pound increase. And so
for second and greater lactation, we did.
And we showed a 3.5 to 1 return on investment. Did that 3.5 to 1 return on investment include the cost of feeding the first lactation animals?
No, it did not.
Okay.
We just did that on the second and greater.
Second and greater. Okay. Very good. So Larry, if we could go back to the mycotoxin challenge. So we were roughly a 1500 parts per billion or 1.5 part per million average of DON, vomitoxin. Mm-hmm. Is that a high level? How do we consider that? Is that a low risk, high risk, medium risk?
That's a very, very interesting question. And typically here at Agrarian, we say that one part per million or 1,000 part per billion is kind of the start of the high risk area. Other people will say it's someplace higher. Well, I guess I'm going to come back and say, do we really want to evaluate it just on the level of mycotoxin that's there? Or do we want to go with what the cows are telling us? If the cows are showing signs that reproduction isn't what it should be, we're seeing loose manure, we're seeing cows are jumping around on feed intake, that tells us that issues are there. Or we could say we bring in a form of mycotoxin protection, and do we see a response? This study would tell us that at 1.5 parts per million, the second and greater lactation cows were challenged by the DON and zearalenone, because when we fed DTX, we saw improvement in milk production.
So with this study, DON levels, and we're going to also talk about there was other toxins in the feed. You already mentioned that. So we also had zearalenone, which we do think of as affecting repro maybe more directly than, say, than DON. But we would also think of, you know, any mycotoxin, if it's causing inflammation, is also going to indirectly affect other parts of the body, other, you know, say milk production, right? And the 145 part per billion levels of zearalenone average, is that considered high? Like, where are we at with that?
Okay. That level of zearalenone we would consider medium. However, we should consider the mycotoxins together. You have a cumulative effect. So that's where I don't really like to put mycotoxins by themselves into a low, medium, or high category, because you really need to look at what the cumulative effect is. So here you had DON, the level that we would normally put into the high risk, and zearalenone in the medium risk. So you put the two of them together and they have a cumulative effect, then I would say these cows were at a high risk level. Now, again, if you look at the cows, they were in excellent body condition. They didn't look like they were.
Yeah. Yeah.
But again, second and greater, we improved milk production. So I would contend that those cows did have a mycotoxin challenge on them.
Right. And, you know, just to be clear, so kind of for the audience, what was our level of involvement at Agrarian with this study? Like, did we have a part in this? I mean, I know the answer, but I just want to hear it from you.
You bet. So Dairy Health and Management Services were contracted to do the study. They were in charge of organizing, assigning the cows, doing the statistics, the site visits, the whole bit. At Agrarian, we were not involved in conducting the study. I did not make a visit to the dairy until 2 weeks before the end of the study.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we funded the study, but it was completely conducted by Dairy Health and Management Services, so a third-party study.
I think to that point of when we visited the farm, you and I went there together with another colleague, and this was a herd that I had, in my previous career, had been to. Larry, there, you couldn't find anything out of place. You know, you mentioned it already. It was a well-managed herd, and they didn't clean up just because we were coming either. They have their stuff together. So that was good.
I think another key comment to me, Scott, is that the study was conducted on a blind basis. What does that mean? The only people who really knew which supplement was which was the folks at the feed mill who made the supplement. Two supplements were delivered to the farm, a supplement A and a supplement B. And then the Dairy Health and Management Services representative that was the on-site monitor knew which was which. So the people at the dairy, they knew that At supplement A went to these pens, supplement B went to the other pens, but they had no idea which was the control supplement and which was the test supplement. And so I think that's important because, Scott, not every dairy is set up to do research studies.
Yep.
And this is a dairy that was experienced with conducting feed additive type trials.
And just to be clear, and I know, you know, that the people listening to this might know, some of them may not. When you talk about the supplements, you know, some people may think of supplement as, hey, our DTX is a supplement in the feed. You're talking about the two different, say, mineral mixes or protein mixes that were delivered to the farm. Yep. And yeah, just one had DTX, one didn't.
Right.
Nobody knew which one was which other than Dairy Health. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, Larry, you know, I appreciate you joining in here to talk about the DTX research on the production side. And if you hit subscribe to the podcast here, we're going to be dropping episodes the first, third, and fifth Monday of every month. And we look forward to further conversations along the lines of mycotoxins and how they affect our cattle. So, Dr. Larry Roth, thank you again for joining us, and we'll talk again soon.
All right. Thank you, Scott.
Thanks. Thank you for listening to Ruminate This with Agrarian Solutions. Look for our next episode in 2 weeks.